market insights, and so much more. Talk to Don now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Don Soa on AM 790 WPRV.
And we welcome you to the Money Talk program here, starting off a brand new week on AM 790, your home of talking business. This is Don Soa. Thanks for tuning in. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, which, you know, used to always be thought of as the market, even though it really only represents ownership interest in the stocks of 30 companies, although the Dow Jones Industrial Company, the Dow Jones Average, has always tried very hard to, since the very beginning, to actually choose companies for the average that were sort of representative of what the overall U.S. market, the U.S. economy was. So they would be considered to be critically important companies, representative companies of the U.S. system. But anyway, the average didn't have a great day today. At some point, it was doing pretty well. But there's still some worry out there in the minds of some investors related to the potential for a trade war that could develop after the president implemented tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. There's going to be more clarity, more clarification on what that will mean to individual relationships between the U.S. and trade allies or maybe trade adversaries. The 30-stock index of the Dow lost 157 points by the end of trading, Boeing and Caterpillar and United Technologies all falling more than 2%. Now, the Dow, as I mentioned, did rise more than 100 points earlier in the day. Shares of both Apple and Goldman Sachs were reaching all-time highs and represented some of the bigger movers on the Dow. Now, it's a growing concern that a mistake in trade policy that could occur here could be as big as a mistake in monetary policy could be, according to Art Hogan, who's the chief market strategist at B. Riley FBR. Trump, the president, implemented a 25% tariff on steel imports and a 10% tariff on aluminum products. However, Canada and Mexico, our two closest trading allies, two key trading partners, were excluded from those tariffs, at least temporarily. The S&P 500 dropped about 0.13%, although it was higher most of the day. Industrial holdings are dropping about 1.3%. Now, the NASDAQ was the one area where there were gains, almost a third of a percent. Actually, a little over a third of a percent to reach a record. One of the bigger players there, obviously, Apple, recovered its losses from last month's correction that it had. So it's been doing very, very well, reaching an all-time high. Now, on Friday, the NASDAQ erased its losses from the recent correction in the market, surging to an all-time high after the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported. They got better-than-expected jobs growth for last month. The S&P 500 entered Monday's session 3% away from recovering all of their losses, while the Dow was about 4.8% away at that time. Now, at the end of the day, what matters is corporate earnings. According to Greg Powell, who's with FI Plan Partners, he said that that's what drives the market. That's corporate earnings. And Powell also noted that investors should expect more volatility moving forward, but he sees further gains as well. So volatility may be the name of the game, and we've mentioned that here on the Money Talk program since the beginning of the year, pretty much, that you'll get ups and you'll get downs, and you'll get ups and you'll get downs, and ultimately, which is what volatility is, moving big swings outside of the normal that you would normally see at this point in the economic and the market cycle. So that's what volatility is, and it's not always bad, but it can, you know, drive you crazy a little bit, and it does create an environment where investors have to be very, very patient and exercise an extraordinary amount of discipline to be successful as investors. So that should tell you, if you don't fall into that definition, that maybe you're someone who shouldn't be an investor. Well, we understand that. But we also understand that people have substantial goals. They work hard to earn their money, and they would like their money to be working for them. So how much risk are you willing or able to take in that effort to participate in the higher gains that may be available as the economy continues to move forward? There's always surprises, and the market doesn't like unexpected things. It doesn't like surprises. The major averages fell 10% from their 52-week high last month. Actually, it was about 10.8%. I think the height of the market was around January the 26th. Now, that was marking the first correction of that magnitude since the year 2016. The correction was sparked in part by concerns that higher inflation would, in fact, push the Federal Reserve to tighten monetary policy, maybe a little bit more quickly than the market had been expecting. We do feel the Fed is going to raise interest rates and tighten their policy, reducing from the overall market some of the stimulus that the Fed has been providing really since the end of the recession in the beginning of 2009. Inflation fears did ease on Friday with the release of last month's wage growth numbers, and the market responded to that very nicely. Now, the Federal Reserve is scheduled to meet next week, with most market participants expecting that the Fed central bank will actually raise interest rates maybe one time here at a quarter of a point. The general consensus seems to be maybe we'll get three of those increases over the course of this year. Now, we've heard some people talk about four increases. My expectation would be that three is more likely. Again, but the open market committee that makes these determinations are just looking for reasons. They're looking for reasons to, you know, for what their policy will be, whether it's a more aggressive move to higher interest rates or whether they're going to continue at this moderate path. Market expectations for a March rate hike are right around 86% right now. That's according to the CME Group. Remember, you know, the havoc that a one-month jump in the hourly wage rate caused back in January? You know, imagine that, a one-month jump. Inflation fears were all over the media at the time. It's all they were talking about. And the stock market correction began. So it's a lot of times it's driven by, yes, it's driven by rhetoric. It's driven by and expectation and surprises, that things that we don't expect. At least for now, that appears to be behind us. Now, in the world of corporate news, well, David Solomon will very likely be taking over as president and chief operating officer over at Goldman Sachs after Harvey Schwartz, who is the sole competitor for the CEO position, retires next month. Goldman shares rose as much as 1.7% before taking a 1.1%, you know, moving to a settling level at 1.1% higher. Now, Andrew Leveris will step down from his post as executive chairman at Dow DuPont Chemical Company in the month of April. Jeff Fettig, who is a co-lead independent director at Dow DuPont, will actually take over the role upon Leveris' departure. I mean, these are all names that are important with big companies. Now, analysts will look at these much more closely than we will here, just reporting broad-based data and information to our listeners. But the analysts will be looking to see, will these changes in leadership at big companies like Goldman and DuPont Chemical and others, will this make a major change in the way these companies are operated and what their fortunes are moving forward? And of course, those are interesting questions for people who are invested in those companies. Analysts at Jefferies, the investment firm, said in a note Monday that Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One movie could be a catalyst for both NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices. Now, in a note to clients, they said, "We believe that the movie will drive sales of the virtual reality headsets that require high-performance GPUs from NVIDIA and AMD." So when the technology of these particular movies and content providers, whether it's Disney or whether it's Spielberg or whoever, this is when the technology becomes more and more sophisticated, and, of course, the underlying technology, GPUs, as they call it, which come from companies like NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices. They want higher speed. They want greater content. They want greater depth within those mixes. And I actually have friends and even a family member who's really, really big in this whole gaming world of virtual reality, also with the new headsets. This stuff is unbelievable. I mean, to watch it, it'll make you dizzy. I mean, the first time you see it, I mean, you can't. It really is very much like science fiction. Again, it's a whole investment world out there that deals with this type of technology. And our job is, of course, to identify the companies that will benefit from them. Now, keep something in mind that there are a great many indexes out there, whether it's the QQQs, which are going to be the top 100 companies in the NASDAQ. And these high-tech companies like NVIDIA and AMD, they're all going to be part of the NASDAQ, which is the growth engines. There's also exchange-traded funds that deal specifically with technology. And there are also actively managed portfolios out there in the large-cap growth category. And large-cap growth is going to be heavily weighted in tech. And they're going to own a lot of the companies that you hear about, a lot of the companies you hear reported on financial programs like this show, as well as on cable news networks and that deal with money and finance. So if you don't feel comfortable making a choice to go and buy an individual stock, and I certainly would understand that, then look at the mutual funds. Look at the top 15 and 20 stocks that they own. You may be able to buy these companies through the mutual fund, and it may be a less expensive and more diversified and safer way to do it. I'm Don Sowa. You're listening to the Money Talk program here on AM 790. We'll be right back, so please stick around.
Sponsored by the Knee and Back Pain Helpline. Suffering from knee or back pain? Call 800-616-KNEE. Learn how a comfortable, nearly invisible brace can solve your pain. 90% satisfaction rating. 800-616-KNEE.
Hi, this is Jerry at Auto Rust Tech. 30 years ago, I created a custom body shop that specializes in repairing cars and trucks with rust damage so people could get extended life from their vehicles. Typical work going on at Auto Rust Tech might be Mike welding up frames and floors for state inspections and fixing a shock mount that busted off. Herman's rebuilding a classic muscle car with new body panels, and Peter's repairing a front engine support that rusted away and restoring a Toyota Corolla so it can pass state inspections and be made safe again. Up front, Kerry is welding up a Mopar frame kit, and Tito sandblasts and undercoats an old Ford pickup and rust proofs a new car. Auto Rust Tech has a highly skilled workforce that can make your car or truck safe again and guarantee it for years. Call us at our crazy phone number, 944-4444, or visit our website at autorust.com. Free estimates are done Monday through Saturday, 8 till noon at 275 Niantic Avenue in Cranston, Rhode Island. That's Auto Rust Tech, 944-4444. Try to forget that phone number.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. When I named this company after Madison, it was a vow on my part to create a company that she would be proud of, that does hair color right and gives women what they deserve. We believe in beautiful, naturally healthy looking hair and that all women can achieve that. Experience beautiful, multidimensional, ammonia-free, salon quality at-home hair color for under $25. We believe confident is the new beautiful. So we've done our job if you feel on top of the world unstoppable with your new hair color. Join the hundreds of thousands of women who have tried and loved Madison Reed. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code FEELGOOD. That's code FEELGOOD. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
Happiness is looking and feeling 10 or 20 years younger than your stated age. With the proper use of medical advances, the goal of looking young indefinitely can be achieved. Hi, I am Dr. Steve Pettirutti, Medical Director for Intellectual Medicine 120. The doctors and nurses at our centers specialize not only in aesthetics, but in face, body, and health-centered life extension. Getting rid of wrinkles, reversing sagging skin, erasing age spots are only the beginning. Maintaining hormonal health, muscle tone, mental sharpness, vascular health, high energy, and sexual vitality are essential parts of the equation. Intellectual Medicine 120 puts real, affordable anti-aging medicine within reach of nearly everybody. Great face, great body, great energy, great life. To learn more about Intellectual Medicine, listen to my show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WPRO.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we welcome you back to the Money Talk program, everybody. I am Don Sowa. We're taking calls here. Maya's here, our producer. The local number is 437-5000. If you're driving and it's not a safe time for you to be chatting with me, just give Maya your question, and she'll plug it into my screen here and get my attention. Make sure that we address your question as soon as possible so that we can get to you before you reach your destination. We have a toll-free number here, 1-888-345-0790. That's 888-345-0790. That's toll-free. And the local number is 437-5000. If you are at a safe place, if you're still in your office or you're parked somewhere or you're at home, let Maya know that, too, if it's important that we get you on. And we'll try to get you on quickly. I get notices of different types on my email, especially some of them are first related to specific topics that deal with money and finance. And I get them from a number of local sites, including consumer advocacy groups. And one of the recent notices I just received from the CBS News site was related to tax scams. And I guess this is an important time of year to be dealing with that. A lot of people in January, February, March are trying to get their taxes done, or they at least have taxes on their mind. So the problem is there are a lot of people out there that know a great deal about the whole world of taxes. They know how to use a lot of private information. As you have heard, it's seemingly constant stories about people accessing your private data. But tax scams are a big deal, and believe me, the calls related to tax scams have soared about 1,200% since last year. Literally inundating American taxpayers with often what sound like, as part of the scams, threatening phone calls in the name of the Internal Revenue Service. Yeah, the IRS is calling me up, threatening me, and I'm going to go to jail if I don't pay this amount of money. Well, scammers, the people who are providing these scams, use multiple methods to trick victims out of their money. Some are more sophisticated than others. There is an outfit, a phone scam protection company out there, thankfully, HIYA, Hiya. That's a phone scam protection company, and they analyze the growth in tax scams. And as they did that, they found that made in January and February of this year alone versus last year. The most common con involves telling the victim that they're under investigation for some sort of tax fraud and that they'll be arrested if they don't pay a bogus back tax bill immediately. The problem is that another more ominous scam has actually appeared this year, in which con artists steal tax return data from preparers. Now remember, most tax preparers, whether it's CPAs or tax preparation services, they have computers, right? And yes, computers can be hacked, as we've already figured that out this last couple of years. And then they file returns in the victim's name. Surprisingly, here's what makes it even more complicated. They still direct the refund from the IRS into the victim's own bank account. So they're filing an inaccurate, inappropriate set of paperwork. They're filing a tax return with the Internal Revenue Service in the name of the victim and having the money actually sent to the victim's own checking account or savings account at the bank. This is all correct information, but you have to have that information to do it, right? But here's where the scam comes in. That's when they actually contact the victim and they say, claiming to be the IRS, that the refund was deposited in their bank account in error. And of course, they expect the money to be returned. The IRS just warned about this particular fast-growing con. They've already sent out warnings twice this tax season, saying that any tax preparer, any taxpayer who receives a refund that they didn't apply for should contact the agency immediately. This is the IRS at its toll-free number. It's 800-TAX-TAX-1040. That's 1-800-TAX-1040. And you should have your bank return the payment to the Internal Revenue Service and immediately take steps to secure your bank account. Now, you may also want to check the security of any account that you have that might actually be listed on your tax return, including your brokerage accounts, which you may have a sizable amount of money in. Make sure you check them very, very carefully. You don't want to think that people are moving that money around anywhere. So if you find yourself in a situation where you've received the notification of a refund, and first of all, you didn't file for a refund or you weren't anticipating a refund, make sure you call the Internal Revenue Service line at 800-TAX-1040, and they'll help you straighten it out. Now, the Justice Department cracks down on scams that are targeting older Americans. Older Americans are more inclined to believe what they're being told, especially if what they're being told or if the material that they're being sent looks very, very official. If you get a phone call from someone claiming to be with the Internal Revenue Service, with the IRS, the most important thing you can get out of this conversation on the Money Talk program tonight is that the agency never initiates a phone call to a taxpayer. The IRS is not going to call you. They don't do that. Now, the only time they will call you is if they're returning your call, okay? So if you've called them and they are returning your call, that may be valid. But they're never going to initiate a conversation with you directly. They're not going to call you on the phone. They don't do that. So somebody, if you get a call like that, it's a fake, very, very likely. But not answering the phone, of course, is not really a good enough protection for you. So there are a number of services. Krebs on Security, K-R-E-B-S. That's a website that digs into cybercrime. They recently revealed just how sophisticated the particular scams have become. Scammers are also using the email, posing as a debt collection agency that purports to actually be working for the Internal Revenue Service, contending in an official, very, very official-looking communication to you that mistakes in sending refunds are very common. The debt collectors include a wide array of personal information from that's about you that you can verify that makes it look very official to make the communication seem legitimate. And it even includes an attachment that may appears to be an official IRS correspondent. It's called a transaction error correction letter, according to this agency, Krebs on Security. So everything about this looks, you know, kind of valid. Now, in this particular fake IRS notice, which uses a very good-looking IRS logo, victims are told that they must return the refund money to a local refund account within 24 hours. Now, in a FAQ, frequently asked question category, what if I ignore this request, if that's one of the questions? Links to a real IRS website actually called How Criminal Investigations Are Initiated might appear. Again, making the whole thing look more realistic. Now, the idea that they're saying you must return the refund money to a local refund account, that's no such thing as a local refund account, okay? It's either from the Internal Revenue Service, which is part of the Treasury Department, or it's not. Now, if you suspect that you're a victim of some sort of a scam, like we're talking about here on the program, the IRS has published step-by-step advice for you. But again, don't be nervous about calling. If you have questions or thoughts, just give them a call at the Internal Revenue Service. And again, it's a free number, 800-TAX-1040. And they will answer your questions and direct you to where you need to go if you need more additional information or additional help. In the meantime, because phone scams and scam calls have become so common now, it's also wise to use spam blocking software. In other words, let's just make sure the stuff can't get through to you, you know, on your cell phone and on your email accounts, on any of your smart devices, which you can get either through your own phone company, by the way. Call your local phone company. They can help you. Well, through some free downloads at websites like Hiya, H-I-Y-A, I mentioned earlier, or another one that is N-O-M-O-R-O-B-O, which I guess would say Nomo Robo. Nomo Robo, it's a great name. N-O-M-O Robo, R-O-B-O, among others. But at first place I'd call would be your own phone company. Tell them what you're trying to accomplish. They are probably there. They're probably very happy to help you. We're going to take a break here halftime on the show. When I come back, we're going to be, well, addressing some questions that we're getting a lot of questions about here on the Money Talk program. And I guess one of the bigger questions is so many people are participants in the stock market through their company-sponsored plan, whether it's a 403B or a 401K. The question we're going to be asking is, how's your 401K doing right now? It's been a volatile few months, right? You had a good year last year, I would imagine, if you were in the market. It's a very good question to be asking right now, and we'll be talking about what's happening today and maybe what you should be thinking about over the rest of 2018. I'm Don Sowa. This is Money Talk on AM 790. Glad to have you here. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back.
Hey, this is Travis here from Bruno & Co. Auctioneers. Ever been to an auction? It's a fantastic opportunity to find great bargains on household wares or watch record prices set in our worldwide fine art sales. Check us out March 19th at our gallery on 63 4th Avenue in Cranston for our monthly Discover It auction. Doors open at 2 for preview. Auction starts at 6 with over 400 lots of paintings, furniture, collectibles, and decorative arts. Call us at 401-533-9980 or visit our website, brunoandco.com.
That's B-R-U-N-E-A-U.
If it's almost as cold inside as it is outside, maybe it's time to replace your old fuel-wasting boiler. For that, you'll need a specialist. You need New England Boiler Works, Rhode Island's boiler replacement and oil-to-gas conversion specialist, serving residential and small commercial properties, with free estimates, one-day installations, and financing. New England Boiler Works has your new money-saving boiler. So why wait another day? Call New England Boiler Works today at 256-9249 or visit anyboilerworksri.com.
Over the hill past the fiery gates, my dark future sits there and waits. The
is Mark of the Fraud by Roidhead. Hear more at don'tbeanasterisk.com. Brought to you by Ad Council and the U.S. Olympic Committee.
When you're making a move, whether it's to a new home across town or relocating cross country, there's only one mover you should be using: R.W. Warner Movers. Since 1959, R.W. Warner has been a trusted, bonded, and licensed company dedicated to moving your valuables to your destination without any problems. Call Dave at 821-0029. That's 821-0029. Or check them out at rwmoving.com. R.W. Warner Moving. Moving you anywhere, anytime.
Can you remember the last time you had a great night's sleep? How you felt the next morning? More energized. More alive. Feel the difference of deeper sleep daily with the new Tomorrow mattress. Designed by the world's leading sleep experts at Serta Simmons Bedding and delivered right to your door. Use promo code SNOOZE12 for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com, promo code SNOOZE12.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And I'd like to welcome you to the second half of tonight's Money Talk program here on AM 790, your home of talk and business. This is Don Sowa. Glad to have you here. Now, I know the president likes to come up with slogans that he uses as part of his personal and professional and political marketing. Self-promotion is one of the great skills the president has developed over many, many years as the ultimate New York real estate sales professional, and he's applied some of those same tricks of the trade, branding and labeling that he learned in the world of business, and he's applied that to politics. And he's done it in a way that not everybody thought would work well, but it certainly has for him. One of the things that he did do as part of that desire to continue the marketing, that marketing persona, is to take credit for things that happened during his administration. And by the way, in fairness to the president, that's what presidents do. They will probably try to avoid taking blame for things, but they certainly love to take credit for them. And I don't know of a single president going back over many years that hasn't done that. But one of the ones that he added to his little repertoire of branding pieces at the end of 2017 was, "How's my 401k plan doing?" Or maybe you should say, "How's your 401k plan doing?" Now, you may still want to ask that question, even though the market here in 2018, as we're coming closer to the end of the first quarter of 2018, it's been really nerve-wracking for a great many people. And you may see some impact if you were in the stock market, had a relative, an appropriate representation allocation in your portfolio in the stock market. Then you had a really good year last year, 2017. So, yeah, it was fair to ask the beginning of January, especially when you got your year-end statements, or anywhere along the way if you're looking at your account online, like a great many people do. You could actually say, well, we had a pretty good year, 2017. Well, now we're moving into a brand new year, and there were some people who predicted, and I'm sure the president did, that, well, you know, the momentum of our political achievements and efforts will continue to provide momentum to the marketplace through in the most representative way for a great many Americans here in this country would be through their retirement plans. How are your investments doing? The president does know, and I'm sure his advisors remind him, that, you know, the stock market is sort of a mirror in many ways of the economy. So if the president's people are suggesting, as he has, that the economy is doing well, doing better than many would have expected, then you'd expect your 401k plan to be a reflection of that. So the real question will be is, will this particular one, the 401k issue, continue to be one that he can depend on as being a solid representative, the 401k itself, of what's been happening? So I guess ultimately one of the things you're going to be looking at, as he tweeted himself back on December the 4th, look at your 401k plan since the election. Highest stock market ever. And that's the president's tweet. Now, he's had a number of them along the way. And some of them we're not going to bother to go into. You know, I tried really hard you know, for the 28 years we've been doing this show, to make the program as apolitical as I can. But I have come to the realization that a lot of times what moves the economy and moves the markets in ways that affect you and I as individuals, because we have our money, well, dependent upon a good economy and depending in our market, our investments depend upon making good decisions. So you have to kind of know what's going on and why. And so, yeah, politics inched their way into it, like it or not. But as with all things, there are periods in which the markets are volatile. And I mentioned in the last segment of the show that volatility isn't always a bad thing, but it's something you have to understand if you're going to make it work for you, as in some cases, take advantage of volatility, or at very least, don't let the volatility hurt you by affecting decisions that you make that might not be prudent. The market's downturn this past week or two, following the president's announcement of plans to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum and present the possibility of a global trade war, it shows that investors also need to brace themselves for the volatility and occasional setbacks that occur. Now, the president's decision did help send the Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 420 points last Thursday. With losses continuing into Friday, manufacturers that use steel and aluminum, much as Boeing and General Motors, are particularly affected by the drop. Now, despite the sell-off, though, the president stood by his stance this past Friday. Now, while you might not want to boast about your 401k balances on your online public media, as some investors were doing earlier this year, you still want to actually stay invested, according to most financial professionals that are out there. The 401k as a place to save for retirement is one of the very best places you can put your money. We believe, as in the financial planning profession, it's very, very important that you encourage people that you know, yourself as well as your friends and family, to continue to put as much money into that plan as you possibly can, especially if you have a plan where your company is matching your contribution. It's going to grow. You get a deduction for your contribution, so that reduces your taxable income for the year. You're going to get the, I call it free money, but I consider it part of your pay that your company kicks into the plan through a match. And then all of that money is going to grow tax sheltered over the years in which you're growing your plan. You won't actually be taxed until you reach retirement and start drawing some of that money out. Now, there's a theory which will be true for some people and not true for others, but the sense would be that normally when you do go to take the money out, given your primary sources of income, some of which may be Social Security and other things, that you may be ultimately in a lower margin, lower tax bracket when you factor out your personal deductions and exemptions in retirement. The end result is paying the taxes on this money later in retirement may be an opportunity for you to access that money at the lowest rate you will typically see during your lives. Now, not everyone is investing in a 401k. I understand that. While about 80% of Americans who work for large employers do in fact have access to that kind of a plan, according to the research from Census Bureau, 2/3 of them are not saving money in their accounts, in their 401k accounts. I can forgive some individuals for not participating in a 401k because they may not have one available to them. But they certainly could invest in a personal IRA, an individual retirement account. In 2018, savers can put as much as $18,500 into your 401k plan or other employee retirement plan, including 403Bs and most 457 plans, as well as the thrift saving plans that are out there with the government. Now, if you're 50 or over, you can put away an additional $6,000 per year. Now, it may take some time to get used to the increased volatility of the market, though investors have really not experienced anything like this for the past 9 years or so. The last 9 years have been pretty steady. We've had some ups and downs, but ultimately it's been a very unusually comfortable time to be an investor, even though there have been pretty solid opportunities to make money. The fluctuations are very normal when you look out over, say, the past 50 or 60 years. But in the short term, yeah, it can get a little nerve-wracking. Not everyone has the right temperament to be an investor. I guess it's a good thing, because otherwise there'd be no people buying CDs or buying money markets or savings accounts at the bank or credit union. They depend on depositors who have that low threshold for risk tolerance. I get it. That's all right. People kind of forget that it's like, it's you know, what it's really like to have a real downturn in the market when you've had 8 or 9 pretty solid, stable, dependable years. Now, I think it's prudent for people to remember that it doesn't go on like that forever. I would tell people to expect 1 or 2 less than impressive, I'm being kind, less than impressive years, you know, in every decade or so. We, you know, 2015, the market itself was down about 3%, a little over 3% at the end of the year. The average investor didn't have 100% of their market money in the market, so they might have been either flat or maybe down 1%, maybe 1.5%, possibly, depending upon their situation. Not a big decline, given that most of the other years that preceded that, 2009 through 14, were pretty good. And then 2016 and obviously in 17 were very good. So this last 9 years, since the recession back in 07 and 08 and the bear market of that period, this has been a wonderful opportunity to make money. And it's entirely possible, and I say it carefully, that 2018 we're in right now, this year, despite the first few months of this year being volatile, up and down, this may turn out to be another one of those better-than-average years. Not a bad year. Certainly not one of the negative years that I've been talking about. If someone hasn't looked at their allocation, the way they have their money invested in their plan for a couple of years, well, this may well be that really wonderful time to look at it and just ask the question. I said, look, is my situation as an investor, as a worker, as a person who will someday retire? So you're looking at your time frame. How much time do you have before you'll actually retire and need the money, potentially? Now, if you're somebody who may retire from your job, but you won't actually need to access your, you know, savings plan, your retirement investment assets for some reason, well, then you don't have to think of yourself as no longer being an investor. That's the real question. It's not how old are you. The question is, when will you need the money? And if it's several years down the road, then you are a long-term investor. One risk to watch out for? You could be overweighted in some areas of the market because the market has done so well. So if because the market has had a, you know, overall a pretty darn good 9-year average return, if that's lulled you into a false sense of security, then, you know, that's something you may want to talk about with yourself or with your financial advisor. And look at the asset allocation you have. I'm not suggesting that anybody get out of the stock market, but I'm suggesting that maybe the places you are in the stock market may not be ideal. They may be overly risky at this point. They may be a little bit expensive at this point. But, you know, there may be other areas of the market you might want to think about being in at this time and move some of your money around. Guess what? I'm going to take a quick break here on Money Talk. I'm Don Sowa. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you what some of those areas might be that you should consider moving some of the stock assets you might currently have. Again, everybody's different who's listening to this discussion. The information I'm going to give you, I hope, will help you formulate great questions that you can ask of your financial advisor. We'll be right back with more Money Talk.
Sponsored by Davison Invention Services. Got an idea for a new product or app? Protect your idea and learn how to bring it to the market. Call Davison for your free idea and invention get started kit. 800-294-7417. 800-294-7417.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it, we guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-930-7830. 800-930-7830. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take red. 800-930-7830.
Hello, beautiful. I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. When I named this company after Madison, it was a vow on my part to create a company that she would be proud of, that does hair color right and gives women what they deserve. We believe in beautiful, naturally healthy looking hair and that all women can achieve that. Experience beautiful, multi-dimensional, ammonia-free, salon-quality, at-home hair color for under $25. We believe confident is the new beautiful, so we've done our job if you feel on top of the world unstoppable with your new hair color. Join the hundreds of thousands of women who have tried and loved Madison Reed. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code FEELGOOD. That's code FEELGOOD. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
This is Money Talk with Don Sowa, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And we welcome you back to the Money Talk program here. We don't have a lot of time, so I mean, this is the sort of a topic I suppose we should do an entire program on. Maybe we will actually extend it into tomorrow's show, depending upon what the weather looks like. I don't know, Maya, are you doing weather predictions for tomorrow? I mean, they're talking about a lot of snow here in Rhode Island. Yeah. Well, we'll have to be in contact with you as the day goes on to find out whether we should either do a tape or actually get out there on the road against the wishes and the recommendations of the police department and the state of Rhode Island and come in and do a live show here at AM 790. But we'll see. Now, how good are you in reading moods, people's moods, people around you, maybe your own mood? Well, the answer actually could be a key to a healthy portfolio over the next couple of years if you can understand, as we've talked about many times on Money Talk, that the people's attitudes have an awful lot to do with whether they're successful investors. Consider the following quote from Sir John Templeton, who was the founder of the Templeton Funds. He's a renowned investor, of course, with an eye for stock value, of course. Bull markets are born in pessimism, he said. They're born in pessimism, bull markets. They grow on skepticism, they mature on optimism, and they die on euphoria. So what they're saying is that the time to buy in, buy low, happens typically when the investment market is, in fact, a bit pessimistic. That's the bottom. Buy low is the bottom. Usually the general outlook would be pessimistic. Now, again, as they start to speculate coming off of that, be a little skeptical, that actually is the growth phase, the time for selecting which stocks, which areas of growth are opportunistic. And that market, the bull market, will mature as we become more and more optimistic about things. But euphoria means that everyone has developed what Alan Greenspan used to call a irrational sense of exuberance. Too excited, too bullish, you start ignoring some of the risk-based realities around you. The most important task for investors in the year 2018 will be to figure out where we are on the timeline that Templeton mentioned, and make sure you position your portfolios accordingly. Now, it's clear that the animal spirits, shall we call them, in this bull market, it's been a very long climb since the end of 08, early 09. And of course, those bull market spirits have been returning to Wall Street, and it's no wonder that stocks in the U.S. have been on a pretty solid tear. Been doing really well. Major economies across the globe are on a synchronized growth track. They're all doing well. Their economies are all growing. They're all in a stimulus mode. Many of the central banks out there are providing continued accommodative stimulus. Even as the U.S. slows down our stimulus here, we're still accommodative here in the U.S. Corporate earnings growth, both here and abroad, is very strong. And business executives and consumers are pretty darn confident right now. The question will be, is at what point do we think they're too confident? S&P 500, the index, has returned about 21% since we published the types of notes and information related to the outlook for 2017. So we were talking about, well, what would 2017 look like on the Money Talk program? Since that time, since we were having that conversation, the market's up been up, the S&P, as the market is up over 20%. Now, that eclipsed even the most bullish scenario that we've seen from other experts and their forecasts. Now, that broad market benchmark, the S&P, notched a record high 60 times over that period, leaving stock prices elevated compared with long-term averages by almost every other measure you can look at. Make no mistake, the bull market is closer to the end of its journey than it is to the beginning. We've been in a solid long-term bull market. But we're not at the end of the ballgame. If you look at nine innings, some people are suggesting that the U.S. bull market is in about the seventh inning. Now, if it survives beyond the month of August of this year, it'll be the longest-running bull market we've ever had, historically. But we're optimistic. Hopefully, we're not euphoric yet. Remember, they said they die in euphoria. We're optimistic that this bull has some room left to run. A few more innings of the game. The market will continue to grind higher, according to a number of experts out there, but the risks are growing along with that opportunity. You've got to be mindful that the broad market has not suffered a meaningful downturn since the 14% decline that ended the early 2016 timeframe. We think a total return of 8% or so, including roughly 2 percentage points from dividends possibly, seems reasonable for 2018. So what they're saying is the people over at Kiplinger's who wrote the article that I'm quoting from, they're suggesting that their analysts believe that if you include 2% as dividends from the S&P 500, that the S&P 500 as a market indicator will probably be up this year. It's just a prediction, by the way. About 8%, that's with dividends reinvested. Conservative forecasts would put the S&P 500 at about 2730 at the end of the year and the Dow Jones Industrial Average in the neighborhood of, say, oh, who knows, 25.8 or something at year end, maybe higher. Passage of some comprehensive tax reform, which we've already seen, the nature and how that shakes out and how it affects corporations and the decisions they make about their surplus revenue and what individual consumers make about their surplus could push markets higher than that. And the chance of a runaway rally is possible, according to Ed Yardeni from Yardeni Research, though he's suggesting that an earnings-led meltdown, or in his case, an earnings-led melt-up, isn't really a melt-up, it's a bull market. It behooves investors to look back at how fast and how far we've come and make some portfolio adjustments that are just reasonable. Several years' worth of, you know, pretty solid and impressive gains may have tilted your portfolio too much toward certain categories of the stock market. And that's good. You got to look at, again, your time frame. Not so much your age, but you got to ask about risk tolerance and your stage in life and when you're going to need the money. This is a pretty good time to actually rebalance some of those holdings, potentially. That doesn't mean get out of the stock market. It means look at what you own and ask if the holdings are correct for you. And although the bond market will also continue to face challenges as interest rates rise, don't forget that Treasury and high-quality bonds in the low maturities, 2 to 7 years maybe, they do serve as a little bit of ballast, a little bit of stabilizing effect in a portfolio. Providing some diversification, buffering some of the volatility we've talked about, you know, usually moving in the opposite direction of stocks during market turndowns. Now, finally, investors who have a global mindset, in other words, understand that the rest of the world is trading stocks to not just U.S. companies, you'll fare better with those with a sort of a broader view. Some of the best returns will likely be found outside the United States. So you might want to be looking, talk to your financial advisor, or maybe do some research of your own about the global markets. Look at, if you're working with a mutual fund company or if you're using ETFs in your brokerage, find out what's available in your 401k plan. Take a look at the international holdings. It might be good to have some blue chip that are heavily weighted European and some emerging market stocks as well as your domestic U.S. companies. The bullish case for stocks hinges on an economy that's moving in the right direction. That we know. But can't move very forcefully. Most people equate strong economies with strong markets, but that's not the way things typically play out. You got to be very thoughtful. Kiplinger expects the U.S. economy to grow at about 2.6% in 2018. Could be a little bit more, could be a little less, which is an improvement, of course, from the 2.2 pace expected for last year, 2017, as they revised those numbers. But, you know, pretty decent. And it's not hair on fire, but it's pretty decent. And that's the point. Modest growth has so far kept the economy out of the typical boom or bust cycle. It hasn't melted down because of overheating the economy. And that lengthened the expansion we've been enjoying is sort of the tortoise is actually winning the race in this case. That may not make a great story, but it's very powerful when it comes to your money. The tortoise has company. For the first time in a decade, at the start of 2017, the world's developed economies were all growing at the same time. We didn't see that much that often. So there's a global component here. It's not just who we elected for president, although the president so far, in many ways, hasn't hurt the expansion that we've seen. And, of course, he'll take credit for that, and I get it. Expect global synchronized growth to continue this year, 2018, with improved performance in the developed markets, aiding recoveries in emerging markets. The International Monetary Fund projects global economic growth at around 3.7% in 2018, where here in the U.S. it may be 2.6 to 3%. Again, rebalance in your portfolio, restructure, look carefully at your alternative holdings, and look outside the U.S. for some of your diversity. I'm Don Sowa. You've been listening to Money Talk. If the weather holds out for us, then Maya and I and my daughter, Donna Allard, may see you tomorrow with the Get Back to Basics Money Talk program. In the meantime, be safe out there and drive carefully. Good night.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets?